Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to see Loco?
What's up? Fresh is our turn, baby. Get up, get them boots for the bridge. Our Gucci suit, them Gucci suits. Ain't got no job, but I stay shy.
Here we are, live at Twin Peaks in Davie. It's a Man Cave Monday. Oh my goodness, do we have a lot of stuff to get to today. I am chomping at the bit. And today, by the way, a special program because Florida Panthers are playing right now. So we will remain the Loco Hour for a couple of hours before our friends on 560 The Joe join us. So here we go. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Crowder and I are at Twin Peaks. We're on University Drive in Davie. We're here every Monday. We love it here. And today will be no different. And like I said, we have a ton to get to, including the Brian Flores press conference, which, again, scheduled for 2:30. He usually takes the podium a little bit early.
Yeah.
So we will make sure that we bring that to you in its entirety.
I got to holler at him about that two-point conversion.
Well, okay, so here we go. Now, I will tell you this. You know, I was at the Dolphins game yesterday. I haven't gone to any Dolphins games yet this season. You're always out there, and obviously you did the pregame show for the radio station, postgame show on CBS4. I didn't know how to feel walking out of there yesterday. It was a surreal experience. By the way, going to get to the code word here in a moment. I try to wait till it's actually 2 o'clock because if you text it in now, it's going to be a little bit too early. So we'll get to the code word momentarily. We'll get to headlines momentarily. Walking out of Hard Rock, and I didn't know how to feel because I want them to be in position to get the number one draft pick. Very rarely in any sports life will you have a team that is this bad. And so you want the payoff that comes with it.
Yeah.
It's like the New England Patriots when they had the undefeated season and then lose the Super Bowl to the Giants, right? When you have an unbelievable undefeated season, you want the payoff that comes with it. Well, on the reverse end, you want the payoff that comes with it. So I don't want this to be one of those seasons where they're really, really bad, but someone else is worse. So I want them to get the number one pick. But when you're there, because you had said this the whole week leading up,
yep,
our Dolphins fans who are there, and I was one of them, are you going to be able to root against your team when they need to score? And I found myself rooting for them to convert the two-point conversion, even though logically I knew it would be a bad thing. And then when they didn't and the place erupted because there were a lot of Redskins fans, I also think there were a lot of Dolphins fans that may have been cheering. And then I just walked out of there confused.
didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I was like, I was almost in the sunken place where I just I'm walking around. I didn't know what. I needed someone to take a picture of me with the flash on to snap me out of it.
Snap you back into reality. My hypothetical all week last week when I was asking people was on the 50 down by 4, it's a Hail Mary. So now it was a way lower percentage chance than sending the game to overtime with a field goal. That's a 95% chance that we could have more football yesterday. That's what I was stuck on. Would that win in overtime? I don't know. Was that the worst play in the history of two-point conversions? I can say yes. That play wouldn't have worked.
I almost would have liked to have seen him catch the ball.
And get destroyed by 52 who was standing next to him?
I believe 52 would have picked him up. I'm not lying here. Picked him up and run him into the end zone, and I don't know if that counts as 2 points for Washington. And in that instance, we may have covered.
Wish we would have. That play was not going to work. Drake could have caught the ball 17 times. Drake can't catch the ball. Let him catch it. He gets his helmet knocked off.
Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere.
Everybody in a goal line two-yard situation is in the box. You're going to run a guy back towards everybody? Do something on the outskirts. Spread it out. That play wasn't going to work. That decision, and Brian Flores had me hot yesterday talking about, we decided with 10 minutes left in the game we were going for two. How can you do that? How can – like the flow of the game, you get to decide if you go for two or not. Everybody – the Eagles, Peterson does it all the time. He goes for two. Like Tomlin will take a lot of chances, fourth and one and two-point conversions. But you get a feel of the game. 10 minutes left in the game, you can't make that decision, Brian.
Well, I did like the fact that they went for two, though. This is a lost season. So get out of there with a victory if you can, or I don't know, though. Should you really be trying to win in that situation? Like, I'm still confused about what happened yesterday.
If I was on the sideline, and if I was on the sideline as a coach or as a player, my thing is extend the game. Kick the field goal, go to overtime, and let's see who the better team is with the extra 10 minutes. Like, that was my whole thought. When it happened, I had to go meet my wife and her
friend. You want to see more of that game?
Just decision-making. Not even – you know what? And I'm putting what is on the line. I'm putting Tua out of my mind. I was isolated because I was in the press box, the miserable press box, because it's miserable when the Dolphins are okay. Now it's ugly.
Right.
Yeah, boring up there. Nobody makes noise. Everybody sits around like they're these damn geniuses.
Right.
Well, I'm in the miserable press box anyway, and I usually leave about 2 minutes left in the game to go down to do the post game with John Kenjimmy on CBS. And I'm sitting there, and they start driving. They hit Gesicki. Fitzpatrick hits Gesicki to about the 30. I'm like, oh, we got action. I called my wife. I was like, hey, I'll come get you. If they don't score here, we might have overtime to watch. And they scored. And I'm like, okay. I text my wife. We're going to overtime. I'll come down in about 2 minutes left in overtime. Stay where you're at. And then I see them line up on offense, and I was befuddled. What the hell are y'all doing? I thought that when they called the timeout, I was like, okay, the Dolphins reevaluated. Redskins timeout. I was like, oh, the Dolphins were locked into this 2-point. It blew my mind, and I honestly wasn't thinking about Tua. I wasn't thinking about tanking. I was thinking about football that I've played since I was 10 years old.
Right, that
this
particular
situation.
Game.
You kick the field goal, and you extend this game to see who the better team is in
overtime. With the vision of what the Dolphins are aspiring to get this season, I think it was the right decision. And when I say the right decision, I'm including the call. I'm including that 2-point conversion call. I think it would have been only more appropriate if it was a pitch out 7 yards deep. That, like, I got the concept of it. Let's go and try to get a victory. This is going to be one of the few chances we have all season to get a victory. Let's get a victory on our home field. But then again, I don't think that victory would have felt very good today.
No.
I'm being honest.
Oh,
I don't
right.
think it would have felt very good. Let me give everybody the code word here quickly. Time for your chance to win Channing's Change. The word this hour is venue. V-E-N-U-E. Venue. Venue, the Hard Rock Stadium. I think that is a world-class venue. I think they put on a great product. Not always on the field, but the stadium itself. Anyway, text the word venue right now to 72881. You have a chance to win $1,000. That'd be a great way to start the week, huh?
Oh, yeah. Grand?
$1,000. Text the word venue right now to 72881, and you could win $1,000 of Channing's Change. Your next chance to win will come at 3 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Yeah, you have to look at the entire season and what this season is about. And I actually think yesterday transpired as best as it could transpire. They hung with them. They had a nice little comeback. I think Brian Flores showed you he was trying to win the game, because had he left Josh Rosen in there, he was telling you, I'm not trying to win the game, because he was garbage.
And if Rosen stayed in, it would have been 17-0, and they would have never had a chance to do that 2-point conversion. He should have made that. That decision would have felt better to me, Hawk. I'm not lying.
If he had left Josh Rosen in?
Let him be terrible. Let him throw another pick. Lose the game by 10 or 17. Okay, yes, we're the worst team. I just saw on ESPN a second ago when I was walking to the bathroom. I think the Dolphins have a 73% chance right now to get the first pick, you know, first overall pick. All that would have been there, and I would have been upset. When you put Fitzpatrick in, and he throws for 132, and he brings them back – And there's guys making plays. And Preston Williams and Devontae Parker are embarrassing Josh Norman. Josh Norman's an all-pro guy. And you have Preston and Devontae catching balls on him. And you're moving down the field. And then you get the touchdown. And then I just got more upset talking about it. I forgot the Redskins called a timeout. Because you call a play running your guy back into the teeth of the defense. They give you 30 more seconds to think about it. And you say, yeah, let's run that same dumbass play we had before. Dude, running them back into everybody?
I think it was inspired. I really do. I think it was inspired.
Two outside, nine inside.
I think it was
inside
inspired.
Is the way to go.
Inspired. Those of us here at Entercom South Florida, the Miami Heat and the Miami Cancer Institute are continuing our partnership to find a cure for cancer. Coming up on November 16th, it's our Dribble Drive against cancer. Zaslow will lead the way, and the Dribble Drive Challenge that goes 13.8 miles from the Miami Cancer Institute in Kendall to the American Airlines Arena. There's the Dribble Drive from Biscaya to the arena, and the Dribble Dash, which is around the perimeter of the arena. And you can form teams now and donate at heathelpcure.org. Let's get some headlines here quickly from Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
And I see, by the way, New Jersey Devils just put up another couple goals on the Panthers. Panthers have the rare afternoon game. New Jersey leading 4-1 right now. I'm probably taking away your headline, Solana. I'm sorry. New Jersey leading 4-1 right now in the second period. We've got a big screen right in front of us here at Twin Peaks. That's what I was mentioning at Solana.
Thank you, Hawk. I'm watching it on a little screen over here back at the studio. Just to add to what Crowder was saying about the Dolphins' projected picks, according to ESPN's FPI, Miami's pick via Pittsburgh is now projected at number 14 after they picked up a win over the Chargers. And that Houston pick, we know Houston beat the Chiefs yesterday in a thrilling
Houston,
game.
Real, man.
Yeah.
That pick is projected now at 29, so a late first-round pick. The Dolphins do drop to 0-5. Brian Flores will speak to the media live here on the ticket in about 15 minutes.
All right.
He better have a better answer than I decided 10 minutes before the game was over.
I think it's a perfectly appropriate answer. I'm not angry at that at all.
Something can change. 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. If we have a chance to win the game, you know, if we have a chance at the end to win rather than tie, we're going to try to win. I got no problem with that at all.
The Miami Heat are back at home tonight versus the Atlanta Hawks. They're currently 2-0 in the preseason, so looking to remain undefeated. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. right here on your home for the Miami Heat, 790 the ticket. No UD, Kelly Olynyk, or James Johnson. By the way, they're all out. Deion Waiters is away from the team, but there's still a chance he can make it back for the game tonight.
How much UD do y'all need to see this preseason?
0 minutes.
Got to see what he got. Make sure the rotation is right.
When do we get nervous about Sergei Bobrovsky? Dude's let up four goals again. They're only 3 minutes into the second period.
Last game is four, right?
Is it Bobrovsky, by the way, that's in goal? I'm just – it is
That's his name again. What you got there?
What was that?
Well, I started to say it for a third time, and then I realized I'm not getting this out right, so you're going to be stuck with Bob.
My man, Bob.
Tonight on Monday Night Football at 8:20, it's the Lions on the road to face Green Bay. The Packers are favored by 3.5 points at home.
We need to get a win tonight, gamblers, because what happened to us this weekend was unholy.
Damn Gators.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, the Gators, by the way, dropped to number 9. LSU jumps up to number 2, Crowder. And finally. Yeah.
LSU's for real.
I can't argue about that one. No, you think you were trying to upset me, but I'm not upset at all.
No, no, LSU is for real.
No, just letting you know the Gators lost. I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. Still top 10. Where are y'all at?
Panthers picked up a big win, by the way. Pause up.
You talk about FIU? Yeah. Pause up, Papa.
Two-game winning streak. And finally, the LA Kings have announced they will cover a Taylor Swift banner raised at the Staples Center, commemorating Swift's sellout streak at the arena. The banner was raised in August 2015. The franchise hasn't made it out of the first round since, so the fans are convinced there's a Taylor Swift curse.
They're covering the banner?
They're covering the banner. The banner's still going to be there, but for LA Kings games, they're going to cover it with like a black tape.
That's so great. But you can hear sports fans already. How about you just go out and win? You know, I think people get all upset because of superstitions. Why don't you just go out there and win? All right, I want to take a quick break. I want to make sure that we have time for Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He's going to speak to the media in about 15 or 20 minutes.
A second opinion is critical. That's why Cleveland Clinic Florida should be your first choice. You need to make sure your diagnosis is correct and the recommended treatment is appropriate. You need answers you can rely on, and that's from the very, very best doctors. And those doctors are practicing and teaching at Cleveland Clinic Florida with a track record of successful outcomes, even in cases considered untreatable by those bad doctors. Those great ones at Cleveland Clinic, that should be your first choice for that second opinion. Call 1-800-639-DOCTOR or visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/second opinion to make your appointment today.
All right. Bobrovsky. I'm just practicing.
No, Bub.
Bobrovsky. Quick break. We'll come right back on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
We're at Twin Peaks in Davie, Man Cave Monday. Got Panthers going on right now. They're losing 4-1. And we have a lot to get to today when it comes to the Dolphins, the Hurricanes. I'll even talk a little bit about your Florida Gators if you want.
You gonna cuss them out?
Well, we had the Florida Gators plus 13. All they need to do is jam the ball in the end zone there at the end of the game, and we get the backdoor cover.
No, we want to run triple fake reverse passes.
I mean, why does everyone try to get so cutesy right at the end, especially when other stuff is working?
Because of the Philly special couple years ago, these coaches got cute as hell inside the five.
Well, why can't you run a good standard play like the pass to Kenyon Drake for the two-point conversion where you go, hey, we're just going to put the ball right in the end zone here.
You want me to jump across this table? Let's run back into everybody.
Let's give you 15 minutes of heat, although this is going to be a very abbreviated version today because Brian Flores is going to speak with the media and we are going to carry it live. By the way, speaking of 15 minutes of heat, if you remember last week we had heat analyst John Crotty on with us and he went to UVA and I made a little wager with him that if the Miami Hurricanes beat UVA, he would say during a Heat broadcast on Fox Sports Sun, what? Tyler Hero reminds me of Mark Hockman.
We got action?
Well, I texted Crotty after the game. I texted him a screenshot of a tweeter who said, even better, right after the Hurricanes won, now we get to hear Tyler Hero reminds me of Mark Hockman. And I sent that to Crotty, and Crotty sent back to me, ha, never texted you back with my demand, all caps, no bet.
Oh, he big manned you.
And I can't even argue with him, so I just wrote, damn it.
That's fighting words, man. Those are fighting words. He said okay on air. That's his fault that he didn't have a bet on the line. Hawk, you got to slap him.
All right, I'm in now. Crowder's talked me into it. I will slap John Crotty next time I see him, unless – sometime during this exhibition season, he says of Tyler Hero, that guy reminds me of Mark Hockman.
Hood rules. Don't back out on the bet, man. You got to get your respect back.
Tyler Hero reminds me a little bit of Patrick Laird, too. That's weird.
Why do you keep sending me pictures of Patrick Laird yesterday in the game?
Because I got to stand on the sidelines, and I love me some Patrick Laird.
I don't want to stare at this man's back. It was clean as hell.
Here's your 15 minutes of heat, although very abbreviated. CBS Sports did the NBA top 100 player rankings. They did a team-by-team breakdown, top 100 players in the NBA, and then there's team-by-team. Certain teams have more players than the other teams. But for the Miami Heat, out of 100 players in the NBA, Jimmy Butler ranked number 14.
I like
pretty
that.
High, right? Yeah, 14th best player in the NBA. Justice Winslow, number 82. Goran Dragic, 92, and Bam Adebayo, 98.
Bam got a little respect, even though it's 98. They respect him a little
bit. I think Bam probably – like, I'd have more confidence in Bam doing stuff on the court than Goran right now, I think.
I think after this year, you know, USA Basketball, I think his name got out there nationally. Yeah. And if they start him this year like he is, he's going to be the five. I think he'll be a lot higher next season.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And it says here on CBSSports.com, the Miami Heat are interesting again after trading for Jimmy Butler. The Heat, like most teams in the East, are lucky to be in the weaker conference because while they do have a solid crop of talent, their starting five would not be any better than the eighth team in the West. If the Heat do pull off a trade for Chris Paul, though, they would automatically be vaulted into the conversation as one of the top teams in the East. But that would last about a year.
Yeah.
And then you'd be hamstrung by, oh, Florida Panthers just scored, so it's 4-2. All right. Then you'd be hamstrung by that contract. But anyway, according to CBSSports.com, in the top 100 players for the NBA, Jimmy Butler, number 14, Justice Winslow, 82, Goran Dragic, 92, Bam Adebayo, 98.
Goran surprises me out of all that. I knew Justice would be in there. And I was hoping Bam was in there.
Goran's hanging on by a thread.
I was just going to say, man.
Hanging on by a thread.
Nice swing, Bam and Goran. You know, I don't know.
Who they play? They play tonight, Solana? How many suits does Goran have?
77,000 suits?
Yes, 77,000 suits.
For the price of baby suit.
He bought 77,000 suits for the price of one baby suit?
One baby suit.
Who did he have tonight, Solana?
The Atlanta Hawks.
We have 17 ascots for the price of one half ascot.
Wow, he got 17 ascots for the price of a half ascot. There you go. You good with those rankings, those Heat rankings, Solana?
I'd have all of them in the top 10 if it were up to me, but yeah. And no airplane mode. That's a head scratcher.
Yeah, yeah. Hard to believe that. What's his name?
Derrick Jones Jr. Check out Ira's last column because he had some high praise for Derrick Jones Jr.
All right.
I want to ask a lot, because Lana, you're the NBA, you're the Heat guy on this show. Like with Bam, is he going to jump? Because every time we talk about it, everybody loves him to death. They love his effort. They love his energy. But they always say he's never going to fill the stat box. He's never going to give you a 20 and 15 game. Like, that's not his game. He's going to hustle, play strong defense. Can you run the offense through him? Like, could Bam take over a quarter? That's what I'm interested in.
Can he do that, Solana?
Probably not through scoring. Like, Hassan Whiteside, he was that kind of threat where he could go off. You know, he had those games where he had 10 blocks and 20 points. Bam's just going to do it, setting hard screens, playing good defense. Like, he's one of those guys where it might not show up on the stat sheet as much as just his overall performance on the game.
But that's my question. Like, as we talk about it, like, your two examples were setting hard screens. And what else you say? Like,
right, like just
playing good defense. Like, do you jump in the NBA rankings off setting hard screens? Because I believe I can throw my shoulder into somebody.
Yeah, like, you can look at a guy like Clint Capella 2 seasons ago with the Rockets. Like, he might not have been a stat stuffer, but he was still highly regarded as one of the best up-and-coming centers in the NBA. So,
but
like,
was Bam not a scorer, though, in college? Because, honestly, I feel like with Hassan Whiteside not on the team, you're going to see a whole new Bam Adebayo, and maybe scoring can be part of it.
Yeah, like you saw in the Team USA practices. Remember those videos that went viral of him doing up-and-unders and turnaround fadeaways, like a la Dirk Nowitzki? So he's definitely going to work on his game, try to get a more polished jumper. But I still don't think you'll see a 20 and 18 stat line for Bam Adebayo on every single night. It's going to be more of the 8 points, 10 points, 15 rebounds, hopefully, and like 3 blocks a game, which would be like a very good NBA center.
And could he play? Does he play above the rim? Could he do that little pick at the foul line and then roll to a little, you know, a little underhand pick? Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside did it all the time. Does Bam have that game in his game with right there in the paint, rolling and catching that alley-oop?
Yeah, dude's got hops. So, I mean, he should be able to definitely play above the rim. I don't know if he necessarily is a great finisher yet, but that's one of the things you're hoping to see from him as he continues his progression.
Whiteside, I texted you guys a tweet from over the weekend, and I thought it was so great. Whiteside threatening for a quadruple-double. He's got 10 points, 5 rebounds, 6 turnovers, and 4 fouls midway through the third quarter. Can you follow up on that, Solana, and see what his stat line ended up being for Saturday night's game?
Yeah, just give me 1 second.
Because the exhibition, he's showing out, man. I think the Devils just – oh, my God. How did the Devils not put the puck in the net there? I mean, good for the Panthers.
Because bub-bub.
Ba-ba. Ba-ba's
out there, man. That's why they don't do it.
I think what we'll do, Solana, is keep it here up until Brian Flores is ready to speak, and then we'll kind of juggle the commercials for the rest of the hour. Does that sound like a fair plan?
Yeah, I mean, that works. By the
are
way,
we Hassan, are we connected with Davey?
Yeah, we are. We are connected with Davey. Yeah. By the way, Hassan finished 12 points, 1 assist, 6 rebounds in 23 minutes.
But what about fouls and turnovers? That's those are the important categories. That's what was getting him close to the quadruple double. I'm not interested in his assists because he ain't doing it with assists. Yeah, we'll keep it here. Brian Flores is scheduled to speak with the media in about 4 or 5 minutes. In fact, let me tell everybody, we're live at Twin Peaks. We're in Davie on University Drive. We're here every Monday. I want to talk about the Dustin Feely Group while we're waiting for Brian Flores. Have you outgrown your current home and are looking to buy or sell right now? Or are you looking for a new commercial property for your business? I've got a solution for you. You can call my friend Dustin Feely and his team at the Dustin Feely Group. You know, when you hire a real estate agent, you need an expert that'll handle the staging of the property, marketing it, line up a title company, help you find the right mortgage, so much more. There's a lot to do. The Dustin Feely Group will help make your buying or selling experience a pleasurable one. And no one sells a home faster. They also have a buyer's satisfaction guarantee. When you buy a home with the Dustin Feely Group, if you need to move within 24 months, they're going to buy it back or sell your home at no charge. And with special programs for renters, he'll help you reach that dream of home ownership so you stop throwing your money away and start building your own equity. They handle properties in all counties, so it doesn't matter where you live right now or where you want to move to. His team will find you the right property for you and your family, and his team will go the extra mile to make it a reality. So call 855-520-HOME. 855-520-HOME. Don't forget to listen to the Dustin Feely Real Estate Show every Saturday morning, 7 a.m., right here on 790 The Ticket, and replay it again Sundays at 9 a.m. Find out everything you need to know about buying or selling and making it a pleasurable experience. And follow them on Facebook and Instagram as well at the Dustin Feely Group. All right, Brian Flores, head coach of the Dolphins, speaking to the media. Let's listen in.
I mean, we didn't score, so it wasn't executed very well. A lot of things could have gone a lot better. I think, we've got to make a good throw, a good catch. That's where it really starts. So, if we don't get that, then the rest of it, none of it really matters. So, at the end of the day, I think it looked a little bit better, watching it again. We might have had a little bit better a shot watching it, last night. But at the end of the day, we didn't execute it. We didn't get it done, and we didn't get the outcome we wanted.
Brian, this is your first late game situation as a head coach. I'm wondering if you could offer us any insight as to the process from the standpoint of, did you and Chad O'Shea discuss that two-point conversion play, or did you give him the freedom to make the call and you just kind of listen in? How did that go?
Well, we talk about that over the course of the week. We've got, obviously, a two-point play menu. Obviously, those plays we like them all. There was a lot of discussion about what we were going to do, what we liked, really anything that's on your menu we like, or else it wouldn't be there. That's kind of how we handle those, and as well as some other situations, anything on third down, anything in the red zone, we like it. If we don't like it, it's out. At the end of the game, there were, a lot of situations. When to take a timeout, how much time, are we going for two? There's a lot of conversation going on there. That part of it, I thought we handled, all that well and gave ourselves a chance at the end to score. And then, either kick the extra point or go for two. We chose to go for two. And, we had a play that we liked. We could have executed it better. We didn't, and we learned from it.
How did you like that stuff when you were a coordinator? Did you want the head coach offering input, or did you want it to be your decision? And how does that influence how you handled it yesterday?
I think the head coach and coordinators are normally on the same page. Well, that's kind of been my experience. So, that's not a split decision within the game. I think it's something we talk about or I know it's something we talk about over the course of a week, especially in, let's call it, gotta have it situations. You know, are we all, you know, on the same page on, you know, what we want to do offensively, defensively, or in a kicking game? And if we're not, then we need to get on the same page. So there's only, you know, a handful of those situations. So if it comes down to this, we're doing this. You know, and I think that's really kind of how everybody operates.
Do you have an analytics guy, or do you consider analytics in that type of situation, you know, late game situation?
Yeah, we, you know, analytics is a big part of the game now. So, you know, if it gives us any type of advantage, you know, or anything that gives us any kind of advantage, I look into. So analytics is part of that. So, yeah.
Is that a play that you're going to play? Is that a play where it's most ideal coming out of a timeout, or is it more ideal when you're having a couple plays, you're at the line of scrimmage? And
I think it's either or. I think, you know, timeout, no timeout. I mean, we execute it. It's a good play. We don't execute it. It's not a good play. I don't think the timeout had anything to do with whether to or not to call it.
Brian, with Xavien, when was the decision made not to play him? And are you concerned he's now had issues with both knees before the season? You concerned that he's got a knee problem?
Look, I think 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season, everyone's dealing with something. I'm not concerned about Xavien from that standpoint. He just couldn't go. Tried all week. Just wasn't you know, ready to go. And he's working his way back. He's in, you know, obviously in there today working to do everything to get back out on the field. And hopefully we see him this week in practice, and you know, hopefully in the game next week.
I know Avery Moss left the locker room in a boot yesterday. Is going to be a long-term deal?
It's still early. I mean, it's Monday. You know, we've got the rest of the week to kind of go through the progression, the treatment, the rehab. So it's still so early. It's hard to say, you know, long-term, short-term. I know he's you know, if you ask him, he'll tell you he'll be back tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes. It's still, I mean, it's early. I mean, I don't think so, but there's no way to know.
Brian, was there a conscious effort to try to take some shots down the middle of the field to get sick here, or was this a matter of what the defense was giving you?
I mean, obviously you want to take what the defense gives you. I think there's some opportunities, you know, especially when the team's playing split safety coverage, to try to get down the you know, tight end or a receiver down the middle. So we had a couple shots at it. We missed one. We hit one. Those are big plays if you can make them. But it's a tough throw. It's a tight throw. It's a, you know, you got to get it out now. One, we, you know, fired it in there. One, we, you know, probably, you know, gave them an opportunity to make a play on it. And that's kind of how that works. So we gave it a shot. Got one, you know. Didn't execute on the other one, and but I thought Mike made a really good catch on the one down the middle.
Brian, I'm sorry. Yep. Brian, does your message to the team change at all after losing?
You're listening to Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It's his weekly Monday press conference.
You know, we stay the course. We, you know, we can continue with our process, which I think has been better. We continue to prepare. The one part of the message that it was my message to them today is, you know, these types of losses really sting and they can linger. And, you know, the challenge now is for us to move on from that as quickly as possible. Because if we don't, then, you know, it'll make that preparation for Buffalo that much harder. And this is a good team we're playing. And, you know, that's part of being a professional. That's part of the maturity this team has to have to move on to the next challenge, which is, you know, the Buffalo Bills.
What are the chances, I guess, to watch the film? Do you still anticipate Josh being the guy going forward?
I thought Fitz played really well when he went in there. I thought he did. Yes, I anticipate Josh being the guy, but I think we're going to do what we feel is best for this team. That's what we did yesterday in the fourth quarter. I thought Fitz played really well. I thought Josh has played well in spurts also. So we'll see how this goes in practice, this week of practice. But, yeah, Josh will be the starter.
How did you go about making a decision? Like you said, Fitz looked good. What made you decide to go back to Josh going forward?
You know, just trying to, you know, keep some, I don't want to say continuity, but I just feel like, you know, Josh has played well. He's made a lot of strides. He's developed over the course of the last, let's call it, 6 weeks, you know, training camp, even more than that. But he's done a good job, and you never want to just, you know, pull a guy for, you know, one bad game. But I think, you know, this is still an ongoing, you know, conversation between myself, our coaching staff, and, you know, we really got to take a look at Buffalo and see, you know, what they're doing, you know, and we're always going to try to put the, you know, what we feel is the best group out there.
What role does the long-term view of getting a fair evaluation on Josh, making sure we know what Josh is by the end of the season, play in your decision?
I wouldn't say that's part of the thought process. It's, you know, right now it's one game at a time, and we try to win every game and try to put the best group out there each week. You know, I would say, you know, I think by now we've got a pretty good evaluation of him. You know, we've had him since April, and all OTAs, all training camp, you know, three starts. I know guys develop, they get better. But, you know, as far as, you know, the development part of that, it's I don't think that's necessarily a part of it. It's more what we feel is the best for the team.
I guess special care or thought, you know, when you make quarterback decisions, given how important that position is to the team and organization?
I think every decision we make is you take thought and try to do what's best for the organization, for the team. I don't like to look at the quarterback position as any differently than I do the punter, the kicker, or, you know, center. I realize that, you know, obviously it's the premier position. But at the end of the day, we try to do what we feel is best for the team. And, you know, I think that's something, you know, for me personally, I that's what I think about when making any decision.
Ryan, the offensive lines that play yesterday?
I thought we struggled in the first half, especially in the first, let's call it, you know, 2-3 series. Look, they got a really good defensive line, powerful, and they were in the middle of the pocket early. Kind of settled down after some time, and then played better as the game went on. Things kind of settled down after the first three series. But overall, you know, the group was, like I said, played better as the game went on, but we still need more consistency.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go, Brian Flores. That's his Monday press conference. We air it every Monday. He reaffirms Josh Rosen will be the starter on Sunday against Buffalo. We're watching the Panthers game also. As that was going on, they just went into the second period intermission, but they scored another goal. So Panthers are down 4-3 now heading into the third period. Reminder, you can hear every Miami Heat game right here on AM 790 and FM 104.3. HD2 The Ticket, starting with the JetBlue Vacations pregame show hosted by Zaslow and Tommy Tighe. That's an hour before tip-off, and then following the game, it's the Lexus of Pembroke Pines and Subaru of Pembroke Pines Heat postgame show. You got the three-time world champion Miami Heat every game right here on The Ticket. Crowder and I are live at Twin Peaks in Davie. We'll take a quick break and come right back. It is
You want to see Loco?
We've been on a tragedy for months.
We are back live. Twin Peaks in Davie. Man Cave Monday. Love it here. This is like, this is my dream studio.
Right here.
Right? Wouldn't you do every show here at Twin Peaks if they would let us?
I have no problem with it. Let's ask them.
And if you're getting off work a little bit early, you drive down University Drive, Twin Peaks, you can't miss it. Place is always great. The food is great. The drinks are ice cold. They got that beer on tap. Everybody loves to wave to Crowder.
And waving at us, you just don't respond.
They're waving at you.
They
Twin
say
they're Peaks.
Bring some new wings over here. They got new wings, big ones, and different sauce. I said, come on with it.
All right, well, there you go. If you're getting out of work or when you get out of work, come on by for dinner, grab a little drink, start the week off right. Twin Peaks in Davie, University Drive. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, and we just listened to Brian Flores there, but lots to get to today. The Miami Hurricanes had a very nice, very needed victory on Friday night. Yeah. One of the things I liked about that game was that I felt they were kind of in control the entire game. I didn't feel like they had to fight and claw and whatever. Not that it was a romp, but I just felt like they were in control the entire game. They just needed something like that against a ranked team. And I felt good about that. And also a little sad as well. Because if you could do that to Virginia, why didn't you do that to Virginia Tech? Why'd you have trouble against Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you pull out the victory against UNC? Like there were a couple things where it kind of played on you after that game Friday.
I'll tell you, watching the end of the game, I got home in the second half, so I didn't see the first half. But when I got home, all I could think about was Manny Diaz being in that defensive meet room all week.
Right?
Like, I think that made a difference.
I think so, too.
Because their calls were on point. They attacked when they needed to attack. They set back. They had rush lanes. A lot of things you saw in that VTech game, the bad stuff in that VTech game was fixed a week later. And Manny to say he's going in there. And we talked about it. It's not like Manny's going to call every single defensive play throughout a game, but he's there from Sunday to Thursday when you're preparing.
A little bit different when he's more hands-on with that defense than hands-off. It seemed like. Again, we'll have to wait and see how the rest of it plays out.
And if Jaron gets healthy, what y'all going to do?
Well, he says that Jaron is the quarterback. There's really, to me, a couple of quarterback controversies down here, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick looked markedly better than Josh Rosen.
Hell yeah.
I mean, he was the only person that kept that offense moving.
That's what he does. Fitzpatrick jumps in the middle of a game and starts throwing that biscuit. You can't start him, but he's a hell of a backup.
It's like where you were saying Deion Waiters is a good sixth man.
Yes.
Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy that you just kind of give the nod to when things are stagnating.
Don't put no pressure on him throughout the week to learn everything and watch a lot of film. Let Rosen do all the heavy lifting and slide old Fitzmagic in L.A.
And then there was the kicking change, too, for the Miami Hurricanes. What was the name of that kicker, Solana?
Turner Davidson.
Turner Davidson became an overnight sensation in South Florida. I'm guessing we've seen the last of Bubba Bax on extra points and field goals. He's still kicking off, but
Turner needs some hormone replacement.
I tell you what, he's about to go through puberty, and he's going to have the time of his life.
Think about how good of a kicker he'll be once he hits puberty. Because he's kicking like this and can't even make babies.
I haven't heard this yet. Do you have the interview Don Bailey Jr. did with him after the game, Solana?
Oh, yeah.
I have not heard this. So what? How come it's so good, Solana?
Well, it's just amazing. Like, when you hear his voice, you remember, like, the shock when we heard the Chiefs quarterback, I'm forgetting his name.
Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Remember the shock we had when we heard his voice? And you're like,
sound like Kermit.
Right. Well, I mean, this is kind of the same idea.
But the voice, too, Solana's 100%. His voice kills me. I laughed when I was heard it this morning with Joe and Zach. Also, his answers, Hawk, are literally what you would think his answer to be from a guy that was walking through the Rathscaler and now he's kicking field goals.
You call like Rathscaler.
Listen, like he's just like DBJ's asking him questions. He's like, yeah, well, I just came out here to kick.
Took a wrong turn. I was trying to get to the library. I walk right out. I'm on the field. They go, hey, kick this thing. Can you get it through those? Is that what it's like?
It sounds exactly what the story is.
All right,
voice.
Let me hear this.
Turner Davidson and Turner. First of all, how old are you?
21.
Okay. Yeah. Congratulations. What was going through your mind when you trotted out through Hard Rock?
Don't miss. Yeah.
Perfect answer.
Yeah. Simple.
Where are you from?
San Antonio, Texas.
How'd you end up at the University of Miami?
Harley just recruited me out of there. It's the best school they recruited me.
There you go. And how long have you been thinking about a night like tonight?
Well, I didn't know I was a starting kicker until after we stretched. After the stretching, I was, whoa, all right, that's cool.
So now we're going to get into it. What's your longest?
My longest?
In a game.
In a game?
Yeah.
I want to say it was 43.
43?
Okay. That.
All right. And how consistent were you in high school? Were you automatic?
I like to think I was.
Wait, you know what that sounds like to me? I'm not even kidding you. That sounds like speed dating. I don't know how speed dating works, but I imagine the possible duo, they each get like a minute to ask the other person some questions to see if they're compatible. Because to me, it sounds like there's some music playing in the background. That could be at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's some music, and it's like, okay, Don, I'd like you to meet, what's his name, Davidson?
Turner Davidson.
Don, I'd like you to meet Turner. Turner, this is Don. Don, go ahead. And he gets a minute to pepper him with questions because he's like, how old are you? Where do you come from? How long is it? You know, like, right?
I mean, it really was.
What's your longest? Listen to this again. And tell me, if I said to you, we are going to eavesdrop on some speed dating here, if you would buy into that scenario. Play that, Solana.
Turner Davidson. And Turner, first of all, how old are you?
21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What was going through your mind when you trotted out through Hard Rock?
Don't miss. Yeah.
Perfect answer.
Yeah. Simple.
Where are you from?
San Antonio, Texas.
How'd you end up at the University of Miami?
Harley just recruited me out of there. It's the best school they recruited me.
There you go. And how long you been thinking about a night like tonight?
Well, I didn't know I was a starting kicker until after we stretched. After the stretching, I was, whoa, all right, that's cool.
So now we're going to get into it. What's your longest?
My longest?
In a game.
In a game?
Yeah.
I want to say it was 43.
43?
Okay. That.
All right. How consistent were you in high school? Were you automatic?
I like to think I was.
Yeah.
That is tremendous.
What are you looking for in a spouse?
I'm telling you now, by the way I heard it, I think they're going to make a great couple. All right, we have to take a break. We're at Twin Peaks and Davie. We had the Brian Flores press conference. And at this moment, we are not endeavoring to take all the stations, Papa, because the Panthers game is on 560 The Joe. So we will hook up with our simulcast partner after the Panthers game this afternoon. So we continue on 790 The Ticket only up until the Panthers broadcast is over. We got a lot planned for you this afternoon as well. Do not go anywhere.
If you're in the market for a new car, go holler at my homeboy Eric Nunez down at Lou Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. This amazing dealership has an award-winning line of cars and trucks. Y'all seen the Chevys on the road. Y'all know what they look like. They're beautiful. Go down and holler at Eric at Lou Back Road. Test drive one. Sit in it. Talk to the sales staff. Take a nap. It's so comfortable. Just go down there and take you a nap. Lou Back Road will save you thousands more than any other dealer in the nation. Not the city, not the state, the nation. And other dealers, they come to Eric because they can't hook themselves up as good as Eric can hook you up. Lou Back Road is your Silverado headquarters as well. Just like all those beautiful cars, check out the Silverados pickup truck. Guys and gals, you will fall in love. Find new roads, but don't overpay. Why go anyplace else if you want a car? Go see Eric Nunez. Go see his award-winning staff. Go see the beautiful showroom with the award-winning line of cars and trucks. See how a dealership is supposed to be run. Conveniently located off 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway. He's going to hook you up. Trust me, I drove my Suburban today. I bought a couple cars before that from Eric. He's hooked up a number of people I've sent over there. He's going to hook you up. Don't be surprised when he gives you these prices on these beautiful Chevys. 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Lou Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Find new roads.
All right. We are at Twin Peaks in Davie University Drive. Hopefully you can come out here and join us or at least have a drink after you get out of work. Maybe a little dinner tonight as well. Ton of stuff to get to. I've got sound from Mike Cuno at CBS4. Bobby McCain went off a little bit after the Dolphins loss yesterday, and I could listen to that Turner Davidson sound for the next 3 hours and be pleased as well. Yeah. Reminds me of Paul Lind from Hollywood Squares in 1975.
Don't know the reference.
I wouldn't imagine that you would. All right, quick break. We'll come right back with more Hockman and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.